Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good start to your day so far. We're going to go over Psalm chapter 7 today. So why don't we look at Psalm chapter 7. Read this together. O Lord, my God, in thee I've taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, dragging me away while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life down to the ground, and lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse thyself for me. Thou hast appointed judgment, and let the assembly of the peoples encompass thee, and over them return thou on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword, and he has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out, and has fallen into the hole which he has made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Amen. So this psalm is a little bit different in that it says here in the intro, it says it's the Shigayon of David, which he's saying to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjaminite. And a Shigayon is meant to be this wild, passionate song. And just think of almost think of like a punk rock song or something. And that was the idea. Cush, there's a lot of different theories of who Cush was. That sometimes they think that this is probably Saul. Some think that maybe was a person through the king's name Shimei, who caused a lot of grief to David. There's different ideas. Most likely, Cush was probably a person that was an associate of Saul's. And in the psalm, you'll find out why. There's a slander going against David during this time. Cush was a slang term meaning African. And so like that's what I said. It could have been Shimei, who's dark-skinned. Or it's used as a way of talking about beauty as well. And so that's why people say it also could have been Saul. But I think most likely it was a friend a senior associate of Saul's, and he's telling lies to Saul basically, and turning Saul against David. And that's kind of what's happening. And if you remember during Absalom's rebellion, right, we see that the tribe of Benjamin was very bitter towards David because of Saul. And so thus, you know, Cush the Benjaminite that's happened here. And so let's just take it from the top. It says, O Lord, my God, in thee I have taken refuge. And so when David was under attack from Cush, all he could trust was with God. You know, every other support was gone. But he needed no other support. And I think this is a really, really good lesson for so many of us to learn. I remember when I first started working at a church, and I took some students to overnight prayer, which we would do all the time. I'd say every few months, I would just take for after Friday night service, whatever kids wanted to join, we'd go, and I knew a guy who had a cabin and we could use it up in the mountains, and we'd go and we just pray all night long, have breakfast in the morning, take a little nap, and then come back home on Saturday. And it was really precious times. And I remember one of these times we took I took not only my students, but a bunch of like teachers that were from the elementary department of our church wanted to come. And so they came, and we had such an amazing time with the Lord. You know, obviously when we, you know, pray all night long, God always shows up. And but for whatever reason, the other the children's pastor, whose husband was the college pastor as well, I guess looking back, they were jealous, or I mean, I don't know, they were just weird. And they started saying very negative things about me. And you know, I'm a brand new pastor, fairly new Christian. You know, I never had this kind of episode before. And it was really difficult. You know, I don't think I did anything wrong. I just took these teachers and kids, you know, to go pray. And but these guys were really, really upset with me. And I remember, you know, in my prayer time, very much, you know, like David, it's like I've got nowhere else to turn. And I don't know why people are saying, you know, very bad things about me. I don't know why they dislike me for this. I think I'm just doing a good thing. I come to this realization that, yeah, in him, I have taken refuge. There's nowhere else to go. And I think, I mean, looking back, and I've had other episodes like this, looking back, you know, that's a really, really good thing. It really is. It's a really good thing that we come to the realization that our only refuge is in God. I think a lot of times people find refuge in other things. If I only win the lottery, or if I get this raise, or if I get this new job, or if I get this new boyfriend, or if I just get married, or something to that effect, and that is your refuge. That is what you think is going to save you from your trouble, or save you from the condition that you're going through now. And David, and that's why David was so special. Oh, Lord, my God, in you, I have taken refuge. You're the only one. And isn't that what we've been talking about for a while? Remember that the whole kind of play on words that I've been using, you know, he's no one, then he's someone, then he's number one. But really, spiritual maturity is he's the only one. And David understood this. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that we also come to this idea as well, that we realize that he is the only one. And when we come to him in that way, and we come with the resignation, that resignation in our hearts, he receives the fullness of us. And he says, Lord, save me, save me. And this is God's strength is evident when he helps us through a trial. God's strength is evident when he helps us, you know, delivering us from trials. And David here was persuaded that God wanted to deliver him from this trial. And is that call, God, save me. You know, I always thought this, if there was anyone that I could throw myself at the mercy of, I mean, anyone in this world that I would just fall on at their feet and throw myself in their mercy, who other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone in this world, in this universe, that would receive us and grant us that mercy and save us in that way? And in verse 2, it says, lest he tear my soul like a lion. Well, David knew this. David believed that his consequences were grave, that if he were not delivered from these lion-like enemies, and you know, of course, David, the shepherd, he has experience with these lions. And so I know sometimes it's like, well, you know, this is not bodily harm. You know, your life is not in danger. It's just words. But we forget how powerful words are against us. And remember the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We know that that's just not true. The words hurt very deeply. Bones repair. They get better. Scars disappear. But words have a striking impact. And so we don't want to minimize the damage that could be done through words. That's why the Bible tells us to be careful of our tongues. Let's continue on. He says, "Oh Lord, if there is injustice in my hands." And so he goes before the Lord and he looks inward and says, okay, is there anything wrong with me? Now, notice David did not claim sinless perfection. He just simply rejected the idea that his enemies had the moral high ground than he did. And so he's really coming to grips with his heart in this way. And he says, and we see now where the charges are. And so it's verse 4 and on. It says, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, in other words, if I've given the enemy special privilege, or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. And we see here that this is probably the charge that Cush has made against David to Saul. And so maybe he had taken spoils that rightfully belonged to the king in war, that he had returned evil for good, and he had taken some of this for himself, and he's basically one charge against another. He's saying, no, I've not done, and if I have done these things, then yeah, let my enemies come and destroy me, which his enemies would really love to do that. And so David is making his case before the Lord in this way. And then in verse 6, he turns this, and then he turns to the Lord and says, "Oh Lord, arise, O Lord, in your anger." And David believed that God was a being of passions, human-like passions, such as anger. Remember, we were created in the image of God. And so if we get angry, God, that comes from God, who also gets angry. And David believed that the passions of God were for his behalf, was on his side. And he believed that God would be angry for him instead of against him. And so he cries out to the Lord in this way. And in verse 8, the Lord judges the peoples. And he says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me." And this is the attitude that protected David in this whole way. He honestly invited God's judgment and correction. And he says, "Lord, judge the people. Come and speak." It's a good place to be at. Lord, come. He says it in his own way in Psalm 139. "Lord, search me and try me, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And so he's saying, God, look in my heart. Look, see if there's anything that's not right or just. And so David had this confidence that in this matter that he was righteous before the Lord. And because of that God would move on his behalf. In verse 9, it says, "Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous." Now, this reveals a little bit more of David's heart, or really the heart of David's prayer. More than anything, he just prayed for God to be just. And David, he didn't pray for special favoritism that he needed from God. He just simply prayed, "God, just be just. And if you are just, I will be found to be righteous in this matter." He searched his own heart. And notice he seemed to pray here beyond his own needs. It wasn't just about him. He seemed to be praying on behalf of all the people. "Lord, just come and be righteous. You know, let the evil of the wicked come to an end and establish the righteous," not just himself, but everybody in this way. And then verse 11, which is really important, it's the hinge here. And he says, God is a righteous judge. He makes like this claim. God, you are a righteous judge. You are a just judge. And David is really appeals to this testing of man, which is important because he is the God of justice. He declared this fundamental principle that God is a righteous judge. Let's not be mistaken here. God is the judge and he will judge. And the reality is that maybe he's delaying his judgment, but it's simply because of his mercy. Let me see. And this is what he means. In verse 12 says, if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. And so we see a God who's ready to judge. So what's holding the delay? It's in the first part. If a man does not repent. In other words, by his mercy, he's allowing sinners time to repent. And in that way, he is delaying judgment, but he is ready. His sword is sharpened, the bow is bent, and it's ready for this. And so if you think of the only thing that holds back the immediate judgment of God against the sinner is the undeserved mercy of God. He gives the sinner an unknown period of time. That's why we can't wait too long. An unknown period of time to repent. And so we need to repent quickly. And then in verse 14, behold, he travails with wickedness and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. And there's this whole idea, it's this picture of, you know, travailing, conceiving. It's a picture of a woman that's giving birth. And so, and what David is trying to relay is like a woman that gives birth to a baby. The sinner gives birth to sin. In other words, it comes from deep within us. It's from within. And this is what happens to the wicked in verse 15. They've fallen into the hole which he made. And so this seems to be a very common way of God to bring justice in that the calamity that the wicked had planned, that calamity usually falls on themselves. And in verse 16, you see this, it says, his mischief will return upon his own head. And so if you remember, as we look in the Bible, I mean, there are two really well-known examples of this. And one is from the book of Esther. And this is Haman, who builds the gallows for Mordecai, but he himself is hung on those gallows. And then if you remember in Daniel, these are the accusers of Daniel who had Daniel thrown into the lion's den. He survives. And then the king throws those guys into the lion's den and they get devoured. So his mischief will return upon his own head. And of course, you know, just like the typical, the melody of the psalm, it starts with distress. It starts with crying out to God. And then it usually ends, almost always ends with praise. And this will follow the simple pattern. Verse 17, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. David was wise enough to praise God for God's righteousness, not his own. And so he says, Lord, I'll praise you, Lord, for your righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And David ended this psalm, which, like I said, began in gloom, on a high note of praise. He could praise because he took his cause to God, and through his faith, he left it there, and he knew that God would move on his behalf. And it's such a beautiful psalm. And remember, it's supposed to be, it's this wild, passionate song, and it's supposed to be sang with vigor and life and passion. And so, you know, it'd be interesting, you know, maybe later or after the prayer time that you would just take this psalm and just read it passionately And you get the idea of what David was doing and where he was getting at in this place. Amen. A beautiful psalm. And so let's go before the Lord and let's pray, you know, in this way. It's and maybe there's some backstabbing or some slander or things that are happening to you. Let's make the Lord God our refuge. Only Him, only in Him can we find strength. And let's just give Him our situations. Let's make sure, like David, let's make sure that there's nothing in our hearts or in our own attitudes, or make sure we've not done wrong ourselves. And let's ask the God of justice to come and vindicate, you know, just like David does. And let's give thanks to the Lord in the midst of it all. And as we sing before the Lord, let's just begin to do that right now.
Jesus, we are dead. desperate for you here. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, creation crying out. Come, Lord Jesus. We are desperate for you here. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, creation calling out. Come, Lord Jesus. We are desperate for you here. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, creation calling out. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. You've already won. Yes, I know. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Let's
just take this moment and let's do that. Let's cry out to our Redeemer. And whatever is negative or things coming our way, let's go before the Lord. Let's cry out to the God of justice. And let's ask for his justice to be rendered on our behalf. Let's pray for a moment. Let's go to our prayer, community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Thank you.
Let's pray over our community that are ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray over our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray this morning over Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our city, especially the rise in COVID cases. Let's pray for our government that they would make wise decisions throughout this time. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's lift up and let's just pray for revival in churches all over the city. Let's pray for our friends ministering here, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask the Lord to continue to draw us closer to Him. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray that all of us as staff members, we just really operate out of our sonship before the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista. And let's pray for really creative ways, especially while we're online, to continue to welcome our guests and our members in our online service. And pray that, they will just continue to prepare themselves for when we can come back together. Let's pray for our worship sound and AV teams, particularly our worship and sound team for our online service. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to really flow. If you know the team, Pastor Nate, Pastor Andrew, Donald, and Rachel, and for Ken, who's running the sound and the AV things behind the scenes, and Ealing, who's doing the PowerPoint. Let's just cover this team on Sundays, and let's just pray for anointing, pray for skill, pray for the equipment, that there would be that everything would work properly. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are our rock and our refuge, God. And only in you, Lord, can we find relief from our enemies, Lord. And thank you for David. Thank you for his honest psalm. God, thank you that he puts his trust in you, God, and even asks you, Lord, to search his heart, God. And we want to be in that same mode as well. And so watch over us today. Watch over our city, God. The cases are going up. Lord, there's a lot of untraceable cases as well, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue your healing word and have people really look to you during this time, God. And we thank you. Watch over us today, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time as you continue to go before him. Have a great day today.